Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, mummies and daddies, it's a podcast, and I'm Lou Sanders, and I'm leading this ship. I'm driving this boat all the way to Content Town. Each week I speak to a different guest about cuddling and they say, really? Is there enough mileage in that? And I say, yeah, actually there is. This week I've got friend, comedian, and so much more really. Is he an actor? Well, I'd have to phone him back and ask him, and we haven't got time, but he probably is. It's Richard Herring. What a lovely chat I had with him. And I don't know why his daughter doesn't like him, because I do. So let's hear from, will I call him Dickie One Nose? I don't think he wants that to take off. So I guess it's little Dickie Herring.
Sunglasses on or off?
I'm going to put my glasses on.
For the cool vibe. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, I think. Yeah, I'm all right. How are you? Are you okay?
Remember when we used to present a radio show together?
I do, and look at us now.
The old team back together. How was Taskmaster? Are we allowed to speak about it?
It was really, really good fun. I really enjoyed it. And it was nice to get out and do some work and be out of the house. And just, I laughed so much. And like the first day, I just laughed so much. It was felt like such a release. I can't remember laughing that much for a long, long time.
Wow.
Some of it was like, you know, it's sort of weirdly tense, and when you're not doing well, it's kind of upsetting.
Yes.
And then when you're doing well, it's kind of pathetically invigorating. So, it's the usual thing. But no, it was just so much fun to do. It's awesome.
When we're off air, will you tell me who won?
No, I can't do that. Look at telling you, blabbermouth.
Go on, take us back then.
History,
the past,
memories,
when stuff was cheaper, certainly.
Woolworths.
Coffee wasn't a good.
Instant coffee, is it the war? It's not the war, is it?
All right, so I'm doing a podcast on cuddling. Good idea?
Well, there aren't many subjects left, are there? So, you know, you've done well to find something that no one else is doing.
So here we are, you know, here we are. And on that note, what's the first cuddle you remember?
I mean, I don't really, I was a bit of a mummy's boy. I'm sure it was, I tell you what, the first real cuddle I remember, and the reason I remember it is because it was unusual, was sitting on my sofa with my mum when I was a bit older, like when I was about maybe 8 or 9, and asking my mum if I could have a cuddle. Mm. And her saying, oh, it's a long time since you've wanted one of these. So it was like, you know, I think I was a very cuddly little kid. I don't really remember that, but I remember sitting on the sofa and wanting a cuddle from my mum, and my mum commenting on how we hadn't had a proper little cuddle for a little while. Might have been 28 years old. I might have been 8 years old. I don't know how old I was.
But I think I was
probably quite, you know, I was quite a happy little kid. And I think I was very close to my mum, I think. I can't remember. I can't remember cuddling my dad. I can't really remember aside from that cuddling my mum. I must have cuddled my mum. But I think like my daughter is, which we'll probably get onto anyway, my daughter is very cuddly with my wife and very standoffish with me. If I get a cuddle from my daughter, it's like, I mean, it's wonderful because she rations them out so much that it happens, it feels like amazing. But I think I was the same with my dad. I think she thinks it's funny not to. I think like she thinks it's a sign of, I don't know. She much prefers my wife, Katie, who you know. And my son is very, very generous with his cuddle and loves me and really cuddles me and kisses me lots. My daughter just doesn't and never really has. And it's quite upsetting. But I think I was, I think I was the same with my dad. I think so it's probably some kind of generational revenge. I think I was very cuddly with my mum. I was a real mummy's boy. And then I think with my dad, I was a bit more standoffish, or whether he was more standoffish, I don't know, because it was a different generation. So
it's a different time.
So it's 50 years ago we're talking about now.
I think you get what you deserve. No, you get at least you've got one. You've got the boy he loves. But does he prefer you, or does he prefer your wife?
I think he likes everyone. I think he does. I think we are closer in that sense. I think me and my daughter are close, and she's just quite, you know, she treats me like most women treat me. She has a little standoffish. She knows that I'm very keen on her, and so she knows she doesn't have to be so keen on me. She'll sit on my knee and pretend to work on my computer, and she'll fight me and stuff, which I think Katie talked about as well.
Oh,
she sort of fights, and then we have a cuddle when we're fighting. It's rare when she, I say, can I give you a kiss? And she say no, and I don't kiss her, therefore.
Yeah, that's lovely, actually.
Yeah.
Very boundaried. she's looking at you more to fix her car and stuff.
I think she'll come round to me. I think she likes, she's a real comedian, I think. And I think I recognise a lot of myself in her.
Yeah.
And I think she is quite like me. And I think I was quite standoffish once I was beyond being a toddler. I think I wasn't very affectionate with people. I listened to some of your shows beforehand. I didn't listen to all of them. And
which ones did you listen to?
I listened to my wife telling me that she no longer cuddles me after having sex. and I listened to David O'Doherty, who was great as well. But I think I think like a lot of my life, I haven't wanted to impose myself on people. So socially, I think through social awkwardness partly, but also just the fear of being that unwanted person in a social group. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. Because you experience it with other people and think, I don't want to be that guy. So I think I kind of excluded myself from a lot of social situations. But I also felt quite uncomfortable from any age once you got self-consciousness I thought it was weird, hugging people who didn't want to be hugged, right? So I just always, I remember when I was about, and I would have been a teenager, so I'm about 14 or 15, my brother's first wife was a French lady. And the first time we met her, she came in and kissed everyone on two times on the cheek, and I kind of bolted and didn't want to be. I felt like it was, I didn't want the intimacy and with someone I didn't know, and I didn't want, I didn't want to impose myself on anyone as well. So I think I've always shied away from that.
Is that why you're so unsociable?
I think so. Yeah, I'm not very sociable. Well, because I think I wish I was more sociable, and I'm kind of glad
I wish you were more sociable.
I'm glad it's not. I don't think it's a bad thing to, because I just think some people are hugging everyone. You think, does everyone like that?
And no, they don't.
But I think it's different when it's a woman. I do think it is different when it's a woman. But if a man is going around hugging essentially loads of women, and men don't really hug other, I mean, they didn't when I was young. Men didn't hug men. So it was about whether you were going to hug a woman. And I just felt that was a massive imposition on.
Do you know what? I'm going to start a campaign. Hug a woman today.
Okay, we should do it. I don't know.
Bring
but
it
then
back.
Again, the older you get, the more creepy it gets. If I'm that 53-year-old man's going around hugging
Are
people.
You 53.
I'm 53.
You look lovely. You've really weathered well.
Cuddle club.
I think that's enough. Would you rather go out with someone who got you loads of presents or was really affectionate?
I think affectionate, because I can buy stuff I want myself.
You can be honest though.
I've got everything I need. I'm difficult to buy presents for, because if I need something, I buy it, and I don't need that much. And all I'll do is upgrade technological equipment, and that costs too much to be bought as a present. I think affection is very nice. And I'm affectionate with people that I know want to be affectionate with me. So I'm hopefully affectionate with my wife.
Are you a workaholic?
I sort of am. I mean, I really like working, and I kind of miss it when I'm not working. And Katie says when I'm not, I think I haven't done really stand-up for quite a while now. But in the past, Katie used to say if I wasn't on stage every month or so, I'd go a bit bit kind of weird, and then I'd do a gig and I'd be bearable again.
Yeah.
I think I'm a bit better at that now, but I do, you know, I miss working if I'm not doing it. We went on holiday last week, and there's always, when I'm on holiday, there's always a part of me going, I kind of want to get back home and
get on with the stuff I'm doing. The best time to go on holiday is when you've done a really big job, and then you're like, I deserve this.
But yeah, but even then, I'd written my book and I'd done Taskmaster, and then we went on holiday the next week. And so I absolutely, and there was nothing I had to do, but there's still a part of me, and it was a good holiday and I enjoyed it, but there's still a part of me that's kind of itching to get back and be able to do what is laughably called work. But a lot of the time when I'm meant to be working, I'm not working. So
exactly.
I'm not sure.
It's that thing where we're never happy where we are. It's like, we've got to be happy where we are. We're always itching to be somewhere else. And it's like, it's the death of us, I think. Do you know what I mean? Because when we're here, we're like, oh, I wish I could be on holiday. Then when we're on holiday, we're like, oh God, be good to get back.
I think I've suffered from that. You know, I'm always like I find it very hard to be in the moment and happy in the moment. I think when I'm doing stand-up, I think that's when I sort of feel happy in the moment.
It forces you to be in the moment, like snowboard, anything like, well, snowboarding as well, because you have to be in the moment because you die.
Yeah.
But snowboarding, stand-up, surfing, all these things are addictive because you are then in the moment.
Yeah. And so I kind of used to find, you know, I used to find intimacy quite difficult in some ways, and I used to find...
Not as difficult as your girlfriend's me. We can have a bit of fun on the way.
And I used to, you know, I think I used to, if I was in a relationship with someone, I was sometimes thinking, not like literally thinking, but suddenly the last girlfriend, I'd be thinking about them a bit more than I was when I was with them, you know what I mean?
I know, it's so crazy because we always want, we can't have it, it's so stupid. It's the, if we can solve that, if we could get in the now, power of now, Eckhart Tolle, honestly, our lives would be, because when you are present, arguments don't really happen as much. Like, it's phenomenal, the shift when you're fully present. I mean, I can only do it for about a minute a day. Imagine if that was, oh my God, it would be such a great life. And when you do it, that's how good it is when we're doing stand-up well.
Yeah.
Or you don't like snowboarding, but you know, that kind of thing. Anyway,
I really don't like snowboarding, but yeah, there must be other things as well. But yeah, it is that for me, you know, I do love that. So I love performing, and that's great. And I kind of like writing once I've done the writing. I like dicking around on the internet like we're doing now. And so, you know, so it's, the older my kids are getting, well, just like having the kids has changed everything a bit. And I do, the more that, you know, we can go out and do stuff with them. And especially now after lockdown, we've been going out and starting to go to safari parks and stuff again. And it's just really, that's really nice. And so you kind of go, actually, well, this, and the holiday as well, to be fair, it's lovely to spend some time, good time with them. So I think it's getting that balance right and having something at home that you really want to be around, which I guess in my 20s and 30s, I didn't have at all. So I was just, my job was sort of everything. And so I suppose that's what I'm trying to shake off a bit, is that my job's nice and I like it and it's good. And it's nice to have got as far as I've got. But, you know, there's more important things as well.
Well, the thing is about kids that I will think about a lot is, because they do force you to be present, but also a lot of what they're into is really boring. So you're sort of like present for a lot. You are more present because they don't like you going on your phone or, you know, they force you to be present because they're so present. But then after a while, it's like, it's not the right kind of presence. Or it's like the same sort of, the conversation shit, you know.
Yeah, it's difficult and it's exhausting, and over lockdown especially, it's been really tiring. I think partly because you don't get any help from anyone else when it's just the two parents, and luckily there's two parents, at least we can share it, but there's no babysitters, there's no in-laws coming around to help. It was just, and there's no teachers teaching the kids,
yeah,
so they're having to take on all those roles. It was absolutely exhausting, and, you know, not horrible. There was lots of things that were great about it. Yeah. And lots of fun, and in a lot of ways, the two of them blossomed, and together, the relationship together was very strong. It was very hard for them, obviously, being away from other friends and stuff.
Do they cuddle each other?
Yeah, they do. The little one annoys the big one, and she is a bit more standoffish and things like that. But she is really sweet with him. He loves her, you know. But he's trying to join in and unable to, which I understand because I was the youngest and I was 5 years younger than my brother and sister, so I really annoyed them and wanted to be part of everything they were doing. But he loves her, but then he loves her so much that sometimes he's sort of hitting her because he just wants her attention. Mm-hmm. So then he's a bit annoying or breaking things because he wants her attention. But yeah, he's just trying to copy her. It's lovely. So he adores her, But he is much more, he's much more kind of showing of his feelings at the moment, and much more likely to hug her than she is to hug him. But it's lovely when they do hug and whatever.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All the numbers relate to your soul. Could be good or you could be foul. Foul. Foul.
Would you say you're good at cuddles? A scale of 1 to 10.
I don't know. It's not one of my main interests. It's not where I really... Not where I really concentrate my efforts.
It's not where I really shine. I haven't been on any courses.
I think, you know, it's nice, but yeah, I don't know if I'm great. I mean, I'm a bit... See, my wife's quite bony, so I think, like, she, you know, I'm quite soft. So I'm fun to cuddle in that way, I think.
Mm, more cushion in the pudding.
I'm a bit more cushioned than my wife. So I think she enjoys cuddling me more because, you know, I'm getting an elbow in my ribs or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I've got elbows too, to be fair.
But she looks fantastic.
She's a beautiful woman. I'm very, very lucky.
And that's the upside.
And, but you know, mainly a nice person. So, you know.
Yeah. Cuddling, you like to cuddle. You do like to cuddle a bit of, a bit of squish, isn't it?
It is. So I think I'm good in that sense. And yeah, you know, I don't know. It's weird, isn't it? It's not a subject I've thought a lot about.
Fair dues, actually. You've been busy. Yeah. You've been writing a book. What's your book on?
My book is about me. It's called The Problem with Men. It's about International Men's Day and why men ask when's International Men's Day and when's International Women's Day. But it's quite a short book, but it's been very interesting. And again, through lockdown, it's been very interesting to write because it's kind of, that's all kind of informed it, really, in the stupid way men have responded to wearing masks or, you know, or fighting the virus as if it's a war, male leaders, as compared to, like, the female leaders have generally done better.
Yes, guess what? My healer says that don't worry about all this pandemic because it's really going to be the time for the divine feminine. And that means that, a lot of men are in power at the moment and it's a patriarchal world. And it's,
I do know that.
List and stuff, all the negative, men are great, but these are like the negative side of male power. And when women, female power comes back into fashion, we all embrace the divine feminine more, respect to mother nature, etc., the world is going to be better.
Well, I agree with that without the arty fairy airy fairiness, isn't
it? Mouth.
I agree with it, but I think, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a feminine and masculine thing. I just think it's the way we're made to think of feminine and masculine. The book is, you know, it's lighthearted mainly, but it's just, and it's sort of trying to make men, it's trying to make men see the benefits of equality, what they shouldn't be scared of feminism.
Yeah,
but also, it's trying to come round to what we should do on International Men's Day. Because really, all it's trying to do is stop men asking about International Men's Day on International Women's Day. That's the only problem with that what they're doing. It's fine to have an International Men's Day. The thing I really realised is because I get a lot of shit from
Menonists. I love what you do on that day. And I think you got loads of shit for it this year, which it just goes, I mean, you cannot not get shit on the internet because it's a vile place, some of it. But yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. So many people are very, very grateful and you do it in such a funny way.
I know. Well, so, you know, but on both sides, so like most feminists, I think, get it and like it and find it funny, but some hardcore feminists maybe don't like it. The hardcore menists don't like it. It became a bit threatening. I think I've forgotten the book's coming out and then you start seeing tweets of people going, oh, Richard Chang's a fe-. There was a hilarious one because someone said, because the book isn't really about me being a feminist. I don't think I'm a great feminist. I think that's part of the reason it works is because I'm... I'm a flawed man. Come on, guys, even I think this is ridiculous. I'm not a particularly PC right on person. I believe in equality and I hope to have equality. And that if we get equality, that will benefit the ways that men are unequal. Yeah. But someone's saying, he's pretending. Anyone who pretends to be a feminist is just doing it to get women to have sex in the hope women will have sex with them. And you're thinking, like, I'm 53. I'm married with two kids. This is not, if I was saying I was a feminist, this is not the reason I'm doing it. I'm not, you know, I've had those moments are gone for me. Hopefully my wife will have sex with me regardless. Yeah. But you know, so it's that men are so fucking stupid about it. And I think that's...
And some women, to be fair.
Yeah, no, and some women. So, but it's... And that's what it's... That's what I'm... So I'd rather get to those guys and say, look, this is... It's not that big a deal. A lot of the men on International Men's Day go, the thing is, it's not as well celebrated International Men's Day. And you look at it, and international days are for everything. They're not that big a deal. Women's Day doesn't get that much publicity. But what does get a lot of publicity and does all the things those men want about mental health and suicide and that sort of stuff is Movember, which is one of the biggest things and is a month, is a whole month long. And gets support because it's funny and because it's smart. People are happy to support it. And the reason, you know, what men are doing on International Women's Day is actually putting anyone off celebrating International Men's Day because it turns it into like, I'm doing this as a response to International Women's Day rather than let's celebrate men or let's look at, you know, and in fact, the oranges of International Men's Day aren't about mental health and suicide and that sort of stuff, which is all very important, but is about just, if you look at the six precepts that were written when they came together, and it's much more about equality and helping men be better people, you know, be better men. And so like, it would be nice to get back to that. So the book, I hope, is lighthearted, but does touch on that my publishers wanted to be called The Problem with Men, which I think is quite a confrontational title, but maybe that's a good thing.
What do you want to go with?
I just wanted to go When's International Men's Day. I thought it was a good title for it, but I think they want it to be beyond people who know who I am. So it's so I think it is quite good, but I'm suddenly thinking, oh God, I'm going to get loads of shit again, and then
you just have to be water off a duck. I mean, everyone has gone mad on the internet. It doesn't.
Yeah.
It's of no. It just doesn't make any sense.
No, and I know, you know, and anything I get, I know is a hundredth of what a woman would get, which is again why I'm happy to do it. When I was happy to do it on International Women's Day, because I sort of think if a man's doing it, it takes away a lot of the power that. A lot of the aggression those men would have because they want a woman to do it,
but for a man to do it. In such a funny way. It's just good content as well.
It was fun. Yeah, it was funny. And it's a funny, you know, it's a funny book. I've got the, you know, some of the best tweets in there. And, but then there's a lot more to it, but it's a nice short book. And I'm really pleased I managed to write something over lockdown, to be honest. I can't believe I managed to do it. It was so hard to get any work done. And somehow that came together.
Yeah, that's incredible.
But it's been fun, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, well, now she's asking. Best, weirdest or worst cuddle that you've had, if I may?
I don't think I've had any weird cuddles. I suppose Stuart Lee once tried to wank me off with a ventriloquist dummy. That was sort of a cuddle.
Did he? Did it work?
I was crying. It was in Edinburgh and I was crying. And we all slept on the floor of this Masonic lodge.
Yeah.
We had a sort of tables dividing up where we were sleeping on their side.
Yeah,
and you know, it was as I would in most Edinburghs. It was my first Edinburgh, and there came to a point when I was very low and upset about arguments and stuff we were having at the time.
You and Stuart?
No, it wasn't actually Stuart. It was Stuart. We weren't fighting at the time. It was about other people we were working with, and I think just the whole thing. You know, it seemed like a lot of pressure, and so I think he did it to try and cheer me up. I mean, it's not really a ventriloquist dummy touching your cock isn't really a cuddle, though, is it? That's a very broad definition.
Well, it's a cuddle for the downstairs, and we can't rule that out, which brings me on nicely, actually, to the next question. Try not to get your bits in a muddle. It's now time for the cuddle puddle. When have you been turned on by a cuddle? Same answer.
Well, I've become very obsessed with puppets and done lots of routines about puppets and fancying puppets, so maybe.
Oh, my God, it was the gateway.
Maybe it was the moment. You know, puppets have been very important throughout my... The more... I was asked to like do a podcast where you pick out your favourite objects, and nearly everything I've kept is a puppet.
Whoa.
I've had puppets all the way through my career. I've kind of been obsessed with that sort of thing, but I don't think it's down to that. but I don't know, have cuddles ever led to...
Turning on, like, it could be family, a dog, I don't know. That's just some...
I don't think so. I once, when we were doing the Oxford Review, I once had to share a bed with Emma Kennedy, who we were always just good friends and didn't really, there wasn't really anything ever going on between us. But I think, like, within that situation as a 19-year-old,
anyone you share a bed with is opposite sex, unless they're married, is very hard not to.
Yeah, so I think, like, I might just have, like, tried to cuddle her a bit and then pretended I was asleep, and she knew I wasn't asleep when she said, "Get off, what are you doing?" So that was my, you know,
that was the
inappropriate cuddle. And, like, you know, it's very, we've remained very good friends, and it was never going to work as a romantic couple for many reasons.
Yeah, and that's why you and I are friends, isn't it?
Exactly, of course.
Because we've never effed.
Oh, yeah, do tell us this one.
Who would you most like to cuddle? Everyone's going to say me.
Who would you most like to cuddle? Live, dead, human, or other?
Well, my daughter. I would love to cuddle my daughter on demand. I'd love to be able to just go, "Can I have a cuddle?" And her go, "Yes." Rather than have to wait for the moment that she's happy to do it.
I think you should play hard to get with her. Just don't.
I will do. Well, she absolutely, and what I love about it, she absolutely gets the power relationship, and she know. But I just want the kids to know how much I love them. So I don't care. I don't, and I think it's sort of, again, it's a generational thing. I've heard a lot of men my age saying this. I don't think my parents were standoffish, but I don't think, like, my dad was, like, vociferously telling me he loved me. I can't really remember, but yeah. I want to let my kids know that I love them. And even if they then reject that love, they at least know that it's there and solid for you. So
you've gone higher than a 5-year-old, and I didn't expect that. And also higher than what I said to do. Just ignore her. She's my daughter, and I do want her to grow up with no issues.
But I think she'll, you know, I think she, you know, I think she, you sort of assume your kids will, especially when they're little, you just assume they'll be really into you. And then I think it's great and interesting that they make those decisions. And I think a lot of it's about her trying to be funny.
Yeah.
It's not always, but she knows that she always turns, if she's trying to make a joke, she'll always see what my reaction is.
Yeah.
But she wants to make me laugh.
Cute.
And so she knows that I'm the one that is the arbiter of funniness. And if she makes me laugh, she's very happy. So, you know, those are the ways we're connecting. And, you know, you are absolutely right. It's just her knowing. If I backed off from it, but again, I think, as you say, it would hurt her more to back off. It's certainly good advice to the 20-year-old me about dating women. Would have been, "Rich, just play a bit cooler."
That would be
a better advice. But
terrible advice for a father.
Oh yeah, go on, tell us this one.
When do you most need a cuddle?
I don't feel I need it. I like, you know, I like, it's nice. It's, you know, when you've been married to someone for, I've been with Katie for 12 years and we've got two kids. And I think that basically what she was saying when she was on is, you know, that if you manage to have some time together, you just want to fall asleep afterwards.
Yeah.
I think at night when we know it's not going to go any further, like a little cuddle just to reinforce the love is there, even if the energy isn't there. But we're so, you know, because we are so tired so much of the time. So I guess then, I think this, I kind of hold it all in, and then occasionally something will get to me, something bad that's happened, you know.
Someone tries to wank you off with a doll.
Wanks me off with a doll, you know. So I think, when I'm crying, that's probably, there's a point where I get to where I'm crying about various things. There's nothing that isn't too personal, that's not so personal I can talk about. So, you know, that occasionally when things get very fraught, I think. And I suppose when we're tired and we've argued, then it's nice to cuddle them. I think what I need it most.
It will get better now we're coming out of lockdown and you can get childcare and stuff.
I think that will help. But honestly, I think we actually got on better during lockdown, generally speaking, than we did before. Because I think we only ever argue when both of us are really exhausted, and you know, you'll lose your temper and it'll feel really serious. And then you go, "Oh yeah." And then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll fall asleep and go, "Oh, I was just really tired." So it's a pretty solid relationship, and I think we've got through this really well. I'm really impressed with how we've got through the lockdown. I think any relationship is a very difficult thing to to not have, you know, I think it's not healthy to not have arguments either. So
yeah, totally.
I think you kind of need to get that stuff out there. And however, but there's been times like years ago where we'd sometimes argue, like when the second child was born and we just moved house, we sometimes had arguments that I thought, no, it's gone too far. And then you'd just a day later go, no, it was nothing. It was literally nothing. Yeah. So just that exhaustion and that postnatal, you know, horror. We had a really difficult couple of years where everything was going wrong, like around us, and just things were difficult around us. You realize very quickly. So I think, you know, I guess that's the main function of cuddling now for me, is just to reassure each other and to apologize to each other and to show each other that we still love each other despite everything.
Very nice. You're a very good couple, actually. I'm glad you're not getting divorced anytime soon.
I think we'll be all right. I think we're going to make it until, I mean, I'm probably going to die in the next 5 to 10 years. So, so you know, I think we can make it that long.
Well, tell Katie I'm moving it.
Who's that guy that said, I don't want any club that wants to have me?
Oscar Wilde?
Yeah, he's not saying that about Cuddle Club.
Okay, the last bit of the show,
yeah,
I do call it a show, thank you, is, if it was in real life,
yeah,
I would cuddle you and you would cuddle me and we'd mark each other's cuddles.
Okay.
But of course, we have to just use the power of energy.
Yeah.
Which you're not into, are you? You're more science-based.
I'm more, you know, fact-based.
Well, a lot of spirituality is backed up by quantum physics.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Do not make me go into details. But it is. Okay, so you close your eyes and then I just say when I'm coming in. And then you see if you can feel it.
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm coming in.
Okay.
I've got my arms right around you. Burying my little head into yours.
Oh. Is that the noise you make during it? Because that's quite off-putting.
Okay, I'll do it without the noise. Okay. I'm still hugging in. I'm squeezing you tight.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Don't worry that your dad never hugged you. Don't worry that your father never hugged you. I'm here now. And you can call me daddy. And out I go.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah,
you don't need to actually have the physical contact. It's just the, the thought that someone's thinking of you. That's nice. And someone's, you know, imagining it. It's fine. Imagination's a powerful tool.
Exactly. What do you think athletes are up to? Okay, so then now you come in and you hug me. Okay. Tell me when you're coming.
How far am I allowed? What am I allowed to touch?
Top end only. Above the waist.
Okay, I'm coming in. I'm going to be very respectful. I'll get my hands on your back. I've got my hands.
I love
you.
That. Yeah, very secure.
I've got my hand now just on the small of your back. I'm just slightly gently rubbing that in a slightly creepy way, but a reassuringly creepy way.
A sniff of the hair, or
I might do that while I'm here. You know, it's nice to feel another woman's body against my own after all this time.
Okay, well, you've lost a couple of marks.
And yeah, did I? For the creepiness, was the creepiness bad?
I don't know if you can tell where you lost the marks.
Well, I think it was probably not taking it very seriously from the start.
How many marks did I get out of 10?
You were good. I mean, I've really felt, I think, what, were we out of 10? I think we'll go 7.5 out of 10. And it would be more if it was, like, if you were really there.
I was expecting more, actually.
Okay. I mean, 75%, isn't that an A? I mean, it's an A, it's probably not an A star.
It's not, it's a B, I think. Okay, well, 7.2 for you.
Oh, that's very nice. Mine wasn't anywhere near that good.
And your prize, it was very funny and I did laugh. And your prize is Luli's Lucky Dong Bag. It's a condom.
Okay.
It's a branded condom with
my... Oh, it's your picture of you. I thought it was a stain on it, but it's a picture of you.
Well, the thing is, these were carried around in my bag for too long and the outside's been scratched a bit.
But yeah, that's the kind of thing I want in a condom.
it says Luli's Lucky Dong Bag and a lovely picture of me. Have you had a vasectomy?
I have not had a vasectomy, no, so I'm potentially able to breed again if you're interested.
I more meant how useful was the condom.
Oh, okay. I'm happy to give you some of my sperm is all I'm saying, if you need it. I've got a proven track record. I've got two good kids. I'll just send it in an envelope.
I might get back to you on that.
Okay, sure.
Put it this way, I'll send a couple of dong bags in the
post. Good, thank you. Yeah.
One for you, one for your wife. Yes. And I'll tell her she doesn't have to use it on you. All right, it's so nice to talk to you. I hope to see you in real life.
And you, my darling. Yeah, that'd be lovely. Come up and stay.
I will, actually. Lovely. Well, give my love to Katie.
I will do, darling.
All right, bye.
Bye.
So that was Richard Herring. What a lovely chat. What a lovely man. If you want to follow him online, you probably already do. He's got way more followers than me. It's at Herring. I didn't mean it like the me. I just meant it's a bit rich recommending someone when... Do you know what I mean? Anyway, he's at Herring1967 on Twitter. And he's very funny all the time, but especially on International Women's Day. He's also on Instagram. And he's RKHerring1967. And that's it. That's your lot. And do get his new book when it comes out. And do watch him on Taskmaster when that comes out. If I said to you, rate, review, subscribe, you would say, why? And I would say, to have a nice time. And you do that by going to @CuddleClubPod on Instagram and Twitter. Lovely stuff. Thanks for listening. Thanks for loving. You know what I mean? And remember to say it with me, CC everybody in if CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.